RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice and Arrow Podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. So, hey, Josh, if you had to give the episode this week a letter grade, a rating, what would that be?
Oh, let's see, a letter grade. Well, I think I have an idea. Did you grade it as well?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a C+.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
You thought I was going to say a B.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is Green Arrow. This is Arrow. This is not B Arrow. I don't know. It sure seemed like it this week.
Yeah, it did. I didn't mind, though. I didn't mind. I have some good positive thoughts on this. I hope my positivity and enjoyment of this episode can rub off on people that were maybe giving it a hard time.
Maybe they were on the fence or something like that, right?
They were on the fence. It was a sticky situation for them. They couldn't get too close to it.
I'm of two minds on this, which I've got, you know, stuff that I thought was really fun. And it was there was a lot of fun in this episode, and I think that was cool. But then, as I start to look a little bit deeper, I then realize that not a lot of other stuff is going on, possibly. And that's I want to talk to you about that, episode here.
Yeah.
So
sort of to be or not to be, that kind of thing.
No.
Okay.
Sorry, I know that's. I just broke the first rule. I should just say and yes, yes and. All right. So what is the puntastic? I mean, the funtastic title of this week's episode?
Beacon of Hope.
Ah.
All right.
See, it's
remember
right
that
there in the title.
Yeah, write it down just in case you forget it and it doesn't come up again. Beacon of Hope.
Exactly.
Was episode 17 of season 4. It aired on March 30th of 2016. Written by Ben Sokolowski and Brian Ford Sullivan. Directed by Michael Schultz. Well, so what's the buzz on this week's episode of Arrow? Well, Brie Larvin, the bug-eyed bandit, is back. She's computer hacked her way out of prison and wants Felicity's spinal implant chip. And now the Palmer Tech Board of Directors is being held hostage. And Felicity, along with her mom and Thea, are trapped inside the building behind a swarm of robotic bees until Brie gets what she wants.
Yeah.
Ouch, that's got a sting.
Ooh.
But when your opponent is made up of tiny little flying stingers, an arrow, it's not going to keep him from misbehaving. Luckily, Curtis Holt is around. While trying to contact Green Arrow for help, Curtis has discovered the Arrow Cave and all its secrets, including that Oliver Queen Bee, the Arrow, the Green Arrow, Queen Bee, the... Okay, he's the Green Arrow. Anyway.
Yeah, I got it.
while he thinks it's just terrific, he has to learn to focus so he can help the team stop the bug-eyed bandit before it's too late. I'm not Paul on your leg. Anyway, meanwhile, Malcolm Merlyn explains to Damian Dark that he's lost a few friends while he's been in prison. but he's not going to be getting any help to get out of there. Luckily, Mr. Dark has made some new ones.
Hmm. Yeah, Curtis
He's a likable guy, don't you think? You know, that
Damian?
Yeah.
Oh, he's totally, you know... And he's got a silent partner now, too, which is, you know, awesome as well. Also, Curtis
Dan
is
Silent Bob.
Yeah, it is. Curtis is the poster child for ADHD, I believe, in this episode as well.
Yes. He's been sick.
it was kind of all over the place. I don't want to really get into the term hot mess because I don't think it was completely a hot mess, but they're just... The episode it felt like it was assembled from leftover bits from the writer's room. It's like, oh, we got this cool story we want to do with this villain, but we got some other stuff we want to put in. Oh, hey, we've got some other pieces here. And they just kind of threw all these elements together. And I didn't feel, I guess, cohesiveness to the episode. Maybe that's what is.
And this is where you and I may disagree slightly. And I don't know. I don't know if I can get you to come to my point of view or vice versa. You may help me realize that I wasn't seeing stuff that I just kind of breezed over me. But
okay,
I actually kind of dug it.
Okay, well, let me go over a little bit of news here. We've got a few things in the news segment, and then we can just drone on about the rest of the episode.
I can do that.
All right. So unlike Flash, which is off for the next 2 weeks, Arrow will be back next week, but then it's off for 2 weeks. So Arrow will be back on April 27th for its final run of, I guess, 5 or 6 episodes. I think they're doing 23 episodes. They probably are doing 23 episodes this season, because we did find out that episode 22, the penultimate episode, is going to be called Lost in the Flood.
I think you're mistaken.
Yes? Am I?
No, I don't think that's right. Yeah, because that was not on the list of the guests that you
that
and
is
I put.
Correct, so. Right. So in our summer special, we went over the list of Bruce Springsteen songs that you or I thought could be the names of potential penultimate episodes. And you're right. That was not on the list.
Right. So that can't be the name of the episode.
Well, unless somebody hacked Mark Guggenheim's Twitter account and posted that, like I should actually tweet back to him and say, I beg to differ. I think the 22nd episode is called whatever, you know, so.
Give him one of mine.
Yeah.
No,
well,
you're right.
One
even
that
though
I think we both picked, so we can pick that one.
Oh, there you go. I like
compromise.
That. Yeah. So, well, even though it was April Fool's Day here recently, I think you're right. I think you and I, we didn't quite hit it. However, we still might hit the plot. So
we might hit the plot.
We'll right. have and, to see how close
well,
we were.
And also, I mean, I got to say, given that we hadn't seen any of the season when we tried to make these guesses, I think we had some pretty darn good guesses. If you go back to our summer special number 9, which I think was our third summer special from the last hiatus, I think we did pretty good. So.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, they may have already had the title by the time we guessed, so maybe next season that's what they'll use.
Oh, there you go. That's possibly true. Hey, there was some really interesting information that was at the end of this episode that some people might not have heard about. You did a little research on this. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this is really cool. I like, this episode obviously was not focused on Felicity's spinal injury, but they did, you know, talk about it, and it was one of the key plot points in this. You know, that was the motivation behind Bree's attack.
Yeah.
So, and obviously they've, had other episodes where they discuss this, but at the end of the episode when that was on TV, before the preview for next week, they had a little information card, information mm-hmm. title card screen yeah. thing that talked about the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, which is a foundation that helps people with spinal injuries. And it gave the website, which is ChristopherReeve.org. And if you go to I actually found this on a some information at a different website at comicbook.com, but there's a video with Emily Bett Ricards and a representative from the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, who was in a wheelchair, so I'm assuming he has a spinal injury. But and you can get some more information about how to help that foundation and what they do. So
That's
I
great.
Just thought that was kind of cool that they put that at the end of this episode, since that was an important point in the show.
What I'm curious about is why they chose this particular episode and why they didn't do it on the one where she got injured or where she got, you know, she started to walk again. I mean, I guess I could see why, because the one where she started to walk again, that was a really emotional episode. But I'm wondering if they got maybe some pushback from the organization or from spinal injury patients saying, hey, this is, you know, really kind of irresponsible for you guys to have this magical chip, you know, to that. Well, I mean, it, you know, it's something that doesn't exist. So maybe they were like, you know, hey, okay, that's fine. We will put a little card about this and have one of our people, you know, do you know, talk about this or whatever.
Right. Full disclosure, I may have missed it. They may have shown this before, but I don't remember
seeing it. Yeah, I usually, I try to watch the episodes live, and I had not seen anything about this previously. But you're right. It's possible we could have missed it. So,
and I do like, kind of based on what you said, the little introduction that Emily gives at the beginning of this short little video. She does say, you know, that Arrow is a fictional show, and you know, we have that chip, and there isn't anything like that exists in the real world, unfortunately. But you can help, or something like that. You know, cool. So it was a good message. I like that they included it, and I think it's kind of important to spread that word and keep people aware of things like that. So. If it ever comes up in their life, or if they hopefully, you know, feel the need to give back, they've got that opportunity.
Very nice. Hey, and speaking of things that we may have missed, I've got to put this total, what I call a duh moment here, because if you guys listened to our podcast, last week we were talking about Malcolm coming back from court, going into his jail cell and like pulling this ring out of his mouth. And we were like talking about how it might have magical powers and all this kind of stuff. And this week, as I'm watching the beginning of the episode and we see some of the scenes again, I'm like, he wasn't trying to, it's not like a magical ring. He was trying to hide from the judge that he was married. So he hid his wedding ring so that they would believe that he was this Markovian, whatever his name was, Kenneth, whatever, Bunker or whatever from Markovia. And so that's what it was. I don't think it had anything to do with, like, he was smuggling in a magic ring or something like that. It was just,
right.
It's very obvious to me now. And I was just like, oh my God, that's.
And that makes a lot of sense, because he wouldn't want people to know that he's married to the potential mayor of Star City. I guess, she's the only one running it.
At the moment, she's the only one running.
Which makes a lot of sense. What doesn't make sense to me is why he'd put it on now, but I guess it doesn't matter now. He's in prison, and what does he care? But,
right.
And I think I did mention that it was on his wedding finger, but I didn't put that connection together.
Right, you
either.
Did. I mean, and it is a magic ring in that case, because it proves that he's married. And it was, you know, I'm sure that's for all of us that wear that heavy piece of metal on that. I'm just saying, you know, your ring might, the weight of your ring may vary, I guess, right? So.
Oh, no, it's attached. It's got a long invisible chain.
If I lose mine again, I get a tattoo. That's all I know. So not losing it. So.
Yes, I love it. It's great. It's better than cats. I'm going to wear it again and again.
All right. Let's talk about Beacon of Hope. I believe that was the name of the episode. If you're not sure, just watch the last 5 minutes of the episode again. They will remind you of that. But here's the thing. I want to talk about a little bit with you. What is the point of this episode? So, you know, we get some episodes where there's more information given to us in a flashback, right? Something that fills in a hole there. We might get an episode where Oliver has to learn something about himself, you know, by fighting the bad guy, or you know, or defeating a bad guy that's, you know, really doing something on the bad with the city. We have this whole subplot with Damian Dark running some program. What's it called? Genesis?
Genesis, yes.
And, you know, so there's a lot of mystery that, again, there's only like 5 or 6 episodes left in the season. So what did they choose to focus on for this particular episode? They chose to have a girl who, a female villain who Felicity put away on the Flash episode last season, want to come. I'm not sure how she figured she would get the chip out of Felicity's back, like, Felicity would just be able to, I don't know.
No, that's easy to answer.
Pull it
bees.
Out of her back?
The bees.
Oh, the bees would pull it out of her back?
Yeah, absolutely. She'd put the bee inside of her. It would multiply, take it out, do whatever. I mean, it came right out of poor old, let's say I wrote his name down, Phil. It came right out of Phil.
Phil, are you okay?
Phil, you okay? Phil, what's wrong? Yeah. Nope, he's not
I'm
okay.
I'm calling 911.
Thank you for telling us. Just do it.
That guy's such a jerk.
He is a jerk.
So, but no, what, like, overall, just if you can, just tell me, like, what the point of this episode, what do you feel the point of Beacon of Hope was?
Okay. Now this is the point. Now, whether you agree it belongs here or not, this is what I think was the point. Now they're making some major changes, on, I don't want to say on the team. They're making some major changes with the interactions and relationships of the characters on this show.
Yeah,
which they've done regularly over the whole, you know, the four seasons that it has been on. They've done it many times. They've done it changes with, you know, Laurel and his family members. Changes with, not Laurel, Oliver with all, and they've done changes with Oliver and Laurel and Oliver and, well, Oliver and everybody basically. But so they do that,
right.
Yeah, many times. They do it frequently. Okay, but now, okay, they set up the end of last season. They set up a huge change with the characters, where the two major characters on the show were now together, much like Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd on Moonlighting back in the 80s. They are now together. They're a couple. They're a stable couple. They're a loving, happy couple, which on a show like this is never going to last. However, it's lasted for a really, really long time this season, and it seemed to be
the better part of half of the season.
Yeah, it seemed to be very unbreakable through a lot of really dramatic, traumatic things.
Okay.
Including Felicity getting shot and paralyzed.
Right.
So I don't think they ever had any intention of keeping that alive, keeping that together.
True. Okay. Yeah, I can agree with that.
I don't think that's ever been the plan. However, if you've done something that I don't want to say stable, but that seemingly that tight and close and loving, you have to have a really dramatic way to, I guess, move forward with that relationship. And again, I'll use another kind of pop culture reference, kind of like they did on Friends for, you know, for a long, long time, Ross and Rachel weren't together. Exactly. So, which may be happening here, but, right. However, I don't think, at the beginning of the season, I might not have said this, but I don't think Emily Bett Rickards is going anywhere. I think she's still going to be a major character on this show for a while, at least. I would say throughout the rest of this season for sure, and
yeah,
and into next season unless something tragic happens to her.
Okay.
So if they're going to keep her on there, but they're not going to be together, it's really important to establish her role on the show.
Okay.
And they had not done that as of this episode. All they had done on this episode
is... Her revised role, you mean?
Revised
role. In the non-love interest of all... Well, she's still a love interest, but in the non-partnering between her and Oliver.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's mostly what this was. This episode was about. And I think quite possibly next week's episode is going to have a similar role with Diggle. But we'll talk about that next week.
Next week.
Next week. Yeah. So anyway, that's what I think the main thing was. Now bringing in a character like Brie Larvin. You know, you may or may not agree with using her as it, but I thought it worked really well because number one, she's kind of a nemesis of Felicity, when she was on The Flash.
Yep.
And kind of a. Not a mirror copy, but what do you call it? You know, somebody that's very similar to you, but
the antithesis,
opposite. I guess so. Yeah, something like that.
Maybe.
So
okay.
Anyway, that's kind of how I see it.
Her dark side, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. She should have like a goatee, you know, like an evil Felicity.
gross. okay. Well, no, that makes sense. That I do see that. I mean, because this was really. The main storyline in this was a Felicity storyline, right?
Yeah, it was.
It also seems that they were just kind of, you know, moving characters around, right? Felicity was coming off the team. They moved Curtis onto the team.
Yes.
They put Damian Dark in a position to regain some control of his power. Not the magic power, but just the control, like the criminal underworld power control.
Yeah, so, and possibly pit him against Hive, which means pitting him against Malcolm.
Potentially. It's unclear, and I feel like I'm having to infer too much about what's going on there, you know, and because it seems like they set stuff up and they're either completely blatant about what they're doing, like the stuff in the flashbacks. We got stuff in the flashback. I don't feel there was any really new information provided in the flashback. It was just kind of going through the motions of having Oliver fight Ryder, realize that he has this power from this totem. But if you're paying attention to the show, I mean, you already know this. I realize they have to kind of do this origin, but they could do it a little more cleverly or interesting. It just, yeah, they're just kind of going through the motions to move through the discovery.
I'm kind of getting the feeling, and I don't want to harp on the flashbacks too much because we've already talked about that, but I'm kind of getting the feeling that the flashbacks are so disconnected from everything else in the show. You know, it's like the flashbacks themselves are written by a complete set of different writers, maybe at the beginning, say, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And then they have to find somewhere to stick them in with the people that are writing this. Whereas I think they could set up a premise of what the flashbacks are going to be. And maybe they do this. I have no idea.
Right.
But I could see where they could totally have used the flashbacks in this one to connect it to this. You know, maybe have Ryder have some sort of power, mystical power where that was like the I don't know what you would call it, the little bee soldier that she made, you know, that they had to fight.
Oh,
that
right.
And he couldn't shoot arrows through because it wasn't, you know, corporeal, really.
Right.
And Ryder could have had something like that. And then Oliver could have figured out that if he takes out Ryder, it knocks this thing out. And then here, in this case, he could have taken out Bree
right.
and knocked her bee soldier out. You know what I mean? They yeah. could have connected it like that a little bit if the same writers had written the flashbacks as wrote the present day. But,
or if they had thought about that even. So.
Again, I'm just speculating. I have no idea how they do it.
Right.
That's
right.
what I would have done.
No, that's clever. I mean, that's, you know, that at least has some thematic cohesion between the main storyline and the other storyline. And, you know, like we've talked about this. You go back to the first couple seasons, your first season especially, but second season to a high extent, the flashbacks thematically were connected to lessons being learned by Oliver as he returned to the city and stuff like that. So
okay, and here's just one future tip for the writers of the flashbacks. You've got to get Oliver to stop shaving. He's got to stop shaving now or he's never going to grow a beard in 1 year.
The beard that looks like that crazy beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they're going to do with that. So he's going to have gone from having a really bad wig that he wore in the early flashbacks to now he's going to have a really bad beard, you know, wig that he wears for the final
beard
season
wig.
Of flashback. So, well, so as you talked about Damian Dark, you know, he may be having to pit himself against Malcolm or against Hive here, but he's not as helpless as he seems being in prison. It for whatever reason, and probably just because I watched it, it reminded me a little bit of season 2 of Daredevil, and I don't want to spoil anything from Daredevil, definitely for people that haven't seen it, but you've got characters that go into prison and have people in other people in prison trying to, you know, be their boss, and those characters, you know, have none of that and, you know, lash back. So there's some similarities there. Really, that's about where it ends. But as you put down, his wit appears to be back. He's when he's killing people, he's funny.
I will be honest with you. I really, really enjoy the character of Damian Dark, and I kind of wish they had utilized him more this season because it's just – he's so different than any major villain that Oliver has had so far in this series. And he's entertaining to watch.
He was better this week than he was a couple episodes ago, I think is when I had one of my major problems with
yes,
him.
Yes,
he is verging on the level of camp that is so there. People will probably agree with this, but I mean, I can see why you might not, but there has been a tonal shift in Arrow since the Flash started.
For sure.
A little bit last season, and even more so this season, right? It's lightened up a lot. There was really funny stuff in this episode. There were moments where I laughed, and some people might think that, you know, the puns were overused. They were. There was a lot of that. Curtis is very hyperactive, like I said, always dropping stuff, but you're dropping jokes and stuff like that. But again, as he points out, that's his, you know, when he's nervous or scared, that's just what his character does. But Damian Dark also does that. And it's I guess, I mean, just campy is kind of the word I've got. You know, he's mustache twirling bad guy who monologues, you know, and he's pissed he can't give his monologue. He's like, this guy dies? I had a whole story I was going to tell about how I was going to kill your grandmother, and forget about it. I'll talk about it later. You know, it's just.
Yeah. Yeah, I see. And I see that as a kind of a even more creepy bad guy than just tough bad guy, you know, which I kind of appreciate, I guess. And it's not for everybody. I will say it's not for everybody.
He's
and I am
psychotic,
not
psychotic, right?
I mean, yeah, I'm not that. Defending the character type. I just for me, that is entertaining to me more than just the big tough bad guy, you know.
And it's different. Which, I give you that.
And the big tough bad guy can work really well too. I just I do like it.
So here's a question though. Do you think in any way Brie Larvin was working with Hive and or Damian Dark? And I only mention this because she did have a couple mentions of. She said Hive a couple times. Now, again, that could have just been a bee-related metaphor or, you know, something. But looking at the subtitles for the episode, every time she said Hive, it was capitalized. Now, again, that could also just be because the people writing the subtitles are told that Hive is actually a proper noun and should be capitalized. But what are your – do you have any thoughts, any reasons why she might or might not be?
I don't know why she would be, and it doesn't seem like she has any connection to it other than she kept saying that, you know, and I thought of that too. And I thought it was interesting that they, you know, the Hive is the one that they're, this secret organization here that they're going to have to take care of. And also, that she just kept saying it, but I don't think she is. I think that was just a coincidence in this case.
I mean, I am leaning more towards the coincidence, but I could also see it as a, you know, they're throwing her at Palmer Tech for whatever reason as a distraction for something.
Well, yeah, I can absolutely see why they might want her. You know, I mean, she would be, I think, a really good fit for Hive. She's
you want all these bee-related supervillains working for you if you're called Hive. I mean, it's just. That's a no-brainer.
That's true. No, but I mean, like, she's – I don't think she's psychotic, you know? Not like a Harley Quinn or a Cupid. I don't think she's like that. I think she's just really angry and really, I guess, determined and really, really intelligent. So to me, I think that would be a really good fit for a group like Hive to use as more of a henchman, but not as a leader.
Sure, sure. I was not sold on her motivation. You know, I was like, I could see, well, I couldn't understand why she wanted to steal this thing in the first place, but, you know, it's a valuable piece of technology that's a prototype, so I could see it being stolen for that. Then you find out she's got a spinal injury, and ouch, oh, you know, I need that. And it's like, well, just, I think Thea was like, why don't you just ask? She's like, I can't afford, you know, this. It's, well, I don't know. It was.
I can see. I mean, really, I mean, in the real world, you just ask. You just go to somebody and go, hey, look, I know you've got this one-of-a-kind thing, and it's, you know, seemingly going to cost billions of dollars. I don't know that that was out there yet. But
right.
And I'm oh, yeah, and by the way, I'm a convict. I killed some people. But can you guys fix me up? I mean, they're not going to say yes.
No,
I really don't.
I know that, you know, I realize that too. And just, again, I go back to the whole thing. It's like, she was just like basically demanding the Felicity hand it over. And I'm like, how's that going to work? I mean, I know you said the bees and stuff, but
right.
I don't know.
Well, and she's, and Felicity says it too. She hints to that too. She's going to kill him anyway. You know, that's why Felicity never gave in or gave up, because right. Even going down to where the board members was, she wasn't just going to go down there to try to save the board members, because she knew that wasn't going to work. Everybody was going to end up dying anyway.
Like poor Phil. He had a wife and a family.
Hopefully the board will grant some, you know, compensation to his family for that. Although if that jerk's in charge, they probably won't.
Yeah. What was his name? No, I don't remember his name. Yeah, but he's the same jerk that's been around forever on the board here this season. So, all right, so it looks like Curtis is on the team, which is really a no-brainer because, quote, he is a taller, more dude-like version of Felicity. Which, funny, that's good. It's as if Felicity never left. I mean, don't you agree?
Well, I agree to some capacity. I mean, he has that same sort of affect as Felicity, and I don't know that he quite had it down to the nuances. Not that they were trying to copy her exactly, but I'm going to fully admit, I kind of felt like Oliver. Everybody thought Oliver was kind of going off the rails on him, being a little bit harsh, but I was kind of like him. Look, dude, our friends are about to die. I need you to focus and do everything you can right now and stop turning around and talking to me and saying movie things.
Sound like my boss.
We can do this afterwards. No, I mean, like, this is an emergency situation here. I'd be happy to do this if it wasn't a time constraint. But so, and again, I like Curtis a lot. So, right. But,
I agree with you, Josh. No, I agree. I think that's important. But let's also look at Curtis's side of this, because I feel this was a really important line. And I felt that Oliver was, again, unnecessarily barking at people, because that's the role that he's had for like 3 years, where he's, you know, Curtis is like, yay, high five. You know, we got to celebrate the wins when they come. And he's like, Curtis, there's still people in trouble. And, it's like, you know, it's like, whoa, like, all right, fine. You know, it's just, I felt it was unnecessary for Oliver to, like, basically jump down his throat. And, you know, Oliver is stressed about this, right? He still really cares for Felicity. So, you know, I completely get that. But that's the thing that is missing on the team, is that they don't celebrate the little wins. It's like, it's always all or nothing. And, you know, as Oliver has been trying to find himself, he needs to embrace the little moments, the happy moments.
I think that was one of the, I guess, themes, you know, or morals of this episode. And I think that specifically they did that on purpose. They bookended it, I guess, at the beginning of the episode where they were training, you know, and Oliver was pushing them real hard.
Yeah.
And I think that was kind of what that was leading up to, was to help him learn that superhero lesson, is that you got to celebrate the small victories. But
is that his blind spot? Like, so he was telling everybody else, you know, like, you got to have eyes in the back of your head. You got to know when I'm there and stuff. Is that where Oliver can't see? Is that where his weakness lies?
Until this episode was. I think that is one of his little, you know, nuances that he has to fine tune before he becomes a super great superhero, you know? But he is, I still think that one of his strengths is being able to focus on the important things of the moment. And he was really trying to make sure, timing was right. And that they were able to, stop her before somebody else died. So, but yeah, I think that's probably one of his flaws.
Okay. And then I know Curtis, Michael Holt, the Mr. Terrific of the comic books, was a Olympic medalist at one point. I think we got information when Felicity was going through physical therapy with Curtis's husband that,
yes,
Curtis had been in the Olympics at some point, correct?
Correct, yes.
Because that amazing...
He may have actually said that at one point, too, early in the season.
Because his amazing jump over the computer station was terrific. Yeah.
It was terrific.
Oh my! It was a stunt without looking like a stunt. I mean, it looks like somebody just like leapt over it, but he had this kind of sideways flip going for it, and he pretty much landed on his feet. I was very impressed with it. There were a number of stunt elements that were fun, and then they still were able to make that whole stunt section with Curtis and Lance funny. As they're running around with the bee view, the bee's POV, there was a part where like Curtis like squatted down and like Lance turned and kind of had to like leapfrog over his back. I'm like, what the heck is going on? It was just, it was a little absurd. It was a little slapsticky, I guess, but it was, I don't know. Curtis made this episode really fun for me. there was a I can reach saturation with him probably relatively quickly with his, you know, his dialogue and stuff like that, which also could be
a little
related to
a little faster than I could with Felicity.
Yeah,
I'm not sure why. Because I liked that, having that kind of character in the show. I liked when Ray Palmer was that character. I liked when Felicity was that character, which she hasn't been for a little while. And I like Curtis, but you're right. It was, and maybe it was the timing, and maybe this is just the father or the teacher in me or something. I don't know. Is when you go a little too far, and I'm like, would you please? it's like when you're trying to help a kid with their homework, you know, and they keep saying something to avoid the work, you know?
Yeah. All right. So big part of the episode was B puns. Too much? Not enough? I think you and I are also our big connoisseurs of the pun.
I believe so, yes. I try.
I felt it was a little too much.
In all full disclosure, I'm going to agree with you. I thought it was a little too much too. Or maybe it was even in the way they did it. I think when Thea did it,
yeah,
I didn't... I didn't mind it because it was like she was sort of doing it tongue in cheek. But when Bree was doing it, it was a little too 1960s Batman.
Again, that level of camp, right?
Yeah. Almost a little too much there for me. Well, not almost. It was definitely a little too much, I thought, to make it.
Not to put too fine a point on it, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it didn't bother me because, like I said, I was having fun with the episode, but I agree with you. I think they did too much. And that's pretty been much common agreement on the internet.
Yeah. Well, if the internet is one thing, it's that people agree on lots of things. maybe not.
Yes, I suppose so.
Anyway, okay. So in this episode, which was called, what's the name of it again?
It was called Beacon of Hope.
Beacon of Hope.
Something I knew it was something like that.
I was very excited. I do a thing here at my house. Whose line is it anyway? You know, where give out points to the winner of each round, like fake points that don't mean anything. So I have little points here. So if I'm watching an episode of one of these shows that we talk about, and somebody says the title of the TV of the episode in the show, they get TV points, right? It's like, hey, TV points to Laurel because she was the first one to say the title. She was talking about how Oliver needs to be a beacon of hope to people, and you know, or that he is a beacon of hope to people within his circle, within the city, the larger community, even probably as a mayoral candidate, but he's not that to himself. And I'm like, hey, that's really good. That's great. That was a really nice use of that. And that came about, 45 minutes into the episode or something like that. And so it's like, all right, we're getting some meat here to this. And then everybody else said it after her. And I'm like, it ruined it for me. Because everybody was coming up with this phrase that, and nobody was there. Like, so Laurel said it to Oliver, and then Thea says it to Felicity, independent, because they're in an entirely different place. It's not like they had any discussion. So where does this phrase come from that all of a sudden Thea's using it? So Thea says, we have to be a beacon of hope because nobody else is, in terms of they have to be strong in Palmer Tech to save the board members and save Donna. And everybody and Felicity is like, oh, you're the beacon of hope. It's like, no, you're the beacon of hope. And then Oliver comes back and in response to Laurel later, and he's like, I'm just trying to be the beacon of hope, like you said. Click, wink, glint. And then Felicity again, you know, turns the phrase back on Thea and is like, what if we make Palmer Tech the beacon of hope? And I'm like, oh, enough already with this. It just... kind of like the B puns, it was just, you know, it was like we watched the episode the other week called Taken, and they kept saying Taken, like every 5 minutes. And, you know, I don't know. It's just, it was overkill.
All right. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just slightly edit this episode and send it to you. So take out where it says Beacon of Hope. And I'm just going to change it to the sound. So yeah. It says Bacon of Hope. And that'll make everything better, you know, because that's what bacon does.
That would have, might have made more sense in some of these cases, I guess. I don't know. I
think Green Arrow will be a Bacon of Hope as the show progresses.
I feel like we have to start a meme now.
I like this idea.
Are you behind me on this one?
I'm behind you on this one, yes.
All right. Oh, speaking of memes, I do have to point out, I don't know how many people here go to Reddit and how many people go to the Arrow subreddit, but for April Fool's Day the other day, they changed the Arrow subreddit, which is very, very critical of the show right now, as you know, the internet can be. And it's, you know, it's funny. People are being clever about it. They're not just hating on stuff to hate on it, but they are, you know, pointing out obvious faults in the show, you know, like what we do, and in a humorous way. So the moderators of the subreddit turned it into an all-alicity Tumblr. So it had pictures at the top, and it basically everything that was posted on April Fool's Day had to be in there could be no Oliver Felicity hate. And people who were putting hateful messages about Oliver and Felicity, like they were glad that they broke up, the admins were actually deleting that stuff. It's very amusing. Very amusing.
Nice.
So all right. So Laurel, I felt Laurel was a beacon of hope. No, I felt Laurel was a really solid character in this, and I feel like they might be doing a little setup for maybe bringing her back. You know, I'm always there for you, Oliver.
See? See, this is what I'm saying. See, they've got to reestablish these characters.
And she helps him get over his heartbreak. You know, she's offering good advice. She is putting herself out there, but it doesn't feel overt. It feels like she is there as a friend for him, and she's not really trying to move in and say, hey, you know, so if you guys aren't together anymore, you know.
Yeah.
We had a thing once. It was pretty good.
No. She is there for him as a friend. She even kind of made that clear that, you know, because Oliver was feeling maybe a little uncomfortable about sharing this stuff with her because of their past relationship. And so
right.
Laurel said, look, no. And see, now that they can set this up for like sometime next season, they can kind of do what like Jerry and Elaine did, you know, on Seinfeld, just one point to just kind of hook up, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, if at this point, we know there's a fifth season. If they are only going to do five seasons, I would, you know, we still are seeing foibles in Oliver's persona to the Green Arrow, right? He has not achieved full hero status because he's, you know, he still has lots of doubts and questions and things like that. I would be happy if they give a solid push in the fifth season and at the end of five with Oliver finally kind of getting everything right within the last few episodes. And he becomes the hero that he deserves to be and that the city deserves. And it goes out on just a high note and, you know, can kind of hook up with Laurel and be a couple there.
I like that thought. That's a good thought.
And you know, she's also, you know, how better to say I love you than, you know, using your sonic scream to kill the bees inside of your lover or, you know, your potential lover,
or at least your soulmate. How about that?
Yeah, right. It's
that's better than doing it because she's mad at you. You know,
right. Now, I don't want to attribute this to anything real at this point, and I want you to take this as a complete rumor because this news was posted on April 1st.
Yes,
and I haven't seen.
I know what you're going to say.
Anything else, but. There are purportedly leaked photos from the set of an upcoming Arrow where I guess Thea and Detective Lance are back at the gravesite. Or no, maybe it's for Legends of Tomorrow. Anyway, it's for one of the CW shows. And, you know, they're standing in the cemetery looking at a grave. And then there's purportedly a picture of the other side of the grave that lists Dinah Laurel Lance, 1985 to 2016. But then below it, it says the Black Canary, which I have to believe that if they were to bury her in the grave in the final episode here, they would not have it say the Black Canary on it.
At this point, no. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so either.
I think
she hasn't established her. She hasn't established herself as a hero so much in the eyes of Star City, so much as Green Arrow has. You know,
right? But she could obviously by the end of the season. But that's still kind of. I think it's far fetched.
Yeah, I think it's far fetched too. I don't buy it. I also heard that. I don't buy it. I am standing by my prediction, which, what was it, last week? I think it was last week.
Yeah, I think
I'm standing
it was last
by
week,
that
yeah.
right now. And this episode.
Remind us, what was it again?
Well, that in the grave is going to be Quentin Lance, but there's another grave that's going to have Donna Smoke. So I think that they're actually both going to die.
Okay.
And this episode cemented that idea in my head even more.
And why is that?
Well, because both Donna and Quentin got tons of, frankly, unnecessary screen time. Neither one of them needed to be in this episode at all.
Donna
they could
had
have
super unnecessary screen time. Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And you know, I mean, she did give Felicity some important things to make sure she was doing to save her mom and all this. But
right.
I still think neither one of them. Yes, and neither one of them. Had to be in this episode in any way whatsoever, but they gave them plenty of stuff to do. And I think it's because they're leading up to both of their deaths.
Okay. I think that's great. I endorse your ideas on that. I mean, I think that's, again, as they aren't giving us enough to go on, then all we can do is kind of just guess. So
yeah, no, I think we're, well, it looks like maybe something happens next week, so it could be as early as that. But until it happens, I think they're going to give both Quentin, he's going to get lots of time on the show, and Donna's going to get lots of time and not lots of clothing.
She's the poor lady. She cannot afford enough supportive undergarments. I don't know what's going on. She needs, I mean, her daughter is the CEO of Palmer Technology, and she's thinking she could buy her mom a bra or something like that.
She could, but, you know, that's...
All right. let's kind of hit the stinger at the end of the episode with us finding out about Andy Diggle meeting with Malcolm. What do you make of this? What is Andrew Diggle's part in the Hive situation here? Because the last time we saw him, he and John had kind of made up. He was still in, I thought he was still in custody from somebody because John was brought him home to have dinner with Lila and Sarah, their daughter. Mm-hmm. But there was like a police guard or something outside, or a Argus guard.
Oh, see, now I had kind of thought he was, they had kind of reconciled and he was letting him go about on his way. He's like, well, I'm not going to hold you. I thought Diggle kind of let him go. As far as the police go, he's dead, right? I mean, they don't even know he's alive.
Right. Officially, he is a deceased individual, which is what Quentin said last week when they were like, oh, we can just get Andy on the witness stand. And it's like, oh, yeah, the one who's officially dead, that's not going to work. Like, Laurel had brought that up last week during the trial.
Mm-hmm.
So what... I mean, obviously, Andy was someone who was high up enough in the Hive organization that he's got some knowledge about it. Is Malcolm using him to get back to Damian Dark? Do you think that he's still working with Hive in order to, you know, like a lieutenant in the Hive organization? What there's so much.
Who's a lieutenant? Malcolm, you mean?
No, Andy. Is Andy still
Andy.
Like... running some aspect of Hive? Was his being captured by John and coming back into John's life and potentially reconciling, was that just an act to undermine the relationship, to use the relationship, I guess, as leverage for whatever Hive is up to, Project Genesis or whatever.
I don't think it was planned, if that's what you mean. I think it just happened, but I don't think that Andy has turned. I think he's still pretty solidly under Hive's not control so much, but just influence. So I that's what I think is going on. I think he's fully aware of his role in Hive and isn't going to turn the way that John wants him to. I think he probably, you know, helped with some of his demons with his relationship with his brother, but I don't think that it was enough to actually turn him away from Hive. So that's what it seems like to me.
Yeah. It was such a quick scene. There's, you know, it's Malcolm being Malcolm. And you know what? For as melodramatic as Malcolm gets, I don't mind it. I don't know what the difference is between him and Dark, because, you know, you enjoy the way Damian Dark does stuff. And I'm just thinking about it. It's like, I like watching Malcolm do it. And maybe it's just the gravitas that John Barrowman puts on it. And I think the actor that plays Damian Dark, I'm completely blanking on it, but I think he's a fine actor. I mean, I love a lot of other stuff that he does, but maybe it's just not the right motivation that he's got behind his character and when he delivers the lines or something. I don't know. I don't know. I'll have to think about why I like one versus the other.
Yeah, interesting. I like them both, but that's, you know, again, that's just me.
Well, reference city on this.
Yes.
So a couple things we learned. One, we did learn that it was interesting because Brie Larvin was typing in the date that she was breaking out, which was March 29th, which would have been the day before the episode aired. The episode aired on March 30th. So, you know, it actually...
So we're happening in real time here.
I mean, yeah, it was happening right there the same day and date. And they also mentioned...
You'd have thought somebody would have noticed and then gone to catch her. I mean, she's doing it on live TV, for crying out loud, some of this stuff.
And then Thea mentions that next week is the election. She says that something about the election happening on April 6th. And so that's next week's episode, which is happens to be called 11:59, which I'm not quite sure of the meaning of that, but tune in next week and we will break that down.
Did you see the trailer?
I kind of saw a trailer. I wasn't paying too much attention.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll talk about that next week, but
yeah. We had the third mention of Harry Potter on the DC TV shows this week, with Voldemort. Very weird coincidence. If you listen,
it wasn't just a mention, it was a discussion.
Well, this really had a discussion. So if you listen to our Flash podcast yesterday, you'll know that Supergirl had a mention of Harry Potter. Flash had a mention of the Dementors on Harry Potter, and then Voldemort, plus the discussion of the Harry Potter books and whether or not they actually made films about them, was discussed here on Arrow. Donna made a very prominent point that these assaults appear to be weekly, just like Quentin Lance points out that what is it if it's May, we're having, you know, some crazy people take over the city or whatever it is. We saw the return of Murmur, who was the guy that had his lips sewn shut. I knew we had seen this guy before, but it wasn't explained very well on the episode, and I had to do some research afterward. But
You didn't remember him?
I remembered him, but I couldn't remember like what he had done and all that. So
For some reason that one came right back to me. That guy creeped me out when he was on. I don't even know how long ago it was, but I just for some reason. I had no problem remembering that crazy guy.
I thought I thought I remembered him having escaped. I don't remember him getting put back into prison, but
That part I don't remember. But
who knows? So, we had another name check for Neil Adams in data processing. Again, Curtis says that he thought Arrow was Neil Adams. Neil Adams being the amazing artist on Green Arrow and Green Lantern during the 70s. He's also a premier artist for Batman and Superman, still doing a lot of great work. I highly recommend checking out anything that he does. He's
one of my favorites.
There are certain artists that are tied very closely to certain characters like Carmine Infantino and the Flash. And I think Neil Adams is tied very strongly to Green Arrow, but also like I will kind of just pick up anything that he does. I didn't realize that, but at the time, just growing up in the 70s, he was Batman. Like, and he would do DC's house style. So if there were ads with Superman or Batman, he was the guy that was doing those. So, T-shirts and stuff like that. You know.
To me, yeah, Neil Adams is my comic book era. I mean, that is me. He may be my top artist, but there's so many good ones. It's hard to pick.
Make a note. We should talk about our favorite like comic artists during the summer.
That's a fantastic
here.
Idea.
That'd be a good episode. All right. Arrow Cave. Curtis calls it the Arrow Cave. Oliver tries to correct him that it's really called the Bunker, but I don't think that's going to stick.
No.
Felicity. Maybe this was the other thing that kind of helped me think there was like just kind of a hot mess, that there were so many different kind of in jokes and references. You know, you had the thing with Murmur. You had Donna pointing out that the assaults were weekly. You had Felicity pointing out that that's why we let Cisco, why we leave the nicknames to Cisco, which might not mean anything to certain people, but Cisco on the Flash comes up with the nicknames for all the bad guys. So that's something with that. We had reference to the Star Labs 5000 Exostation, which is, again, Cisco helped put that computer system in, so which comes from Star Labs. And then tons of pop culture references from Battlestar Galactica, Star Trek, Alien, My Girl, where that was a really obscure one where Macaulay Culkin is stung to death by spoiler alert for a 20-year-old teen comedy, teen romantic comedy, but he gets stung to death by bees. We got Independence Day. We've got B. Arthur and Die Hard that all get name checked. So
I may have even missed some in there. There were so many.
I think there was like at least one more, but that's plenty. I think we need to, I think we need to let it be.
Okay. So. All right.
Wow. So Beacon of Hope. Overall, final thoughts?
You know, final thoughts. I thought it was a fun episode. I definitely understand people's criticisms of this. Absolutely. I'm not disagreeing with any of that, but it didn't ruin it for me. I actually was very entertained by it. I thought it was fun. Maybe I was just in a really good mood when I was watching it. I don't know. And you mentioned it was kind of a transition episode to shift people around, and I would agree with you, and you need those sometimes. We'll see where they go from here with these transitions. I don't know how much of a part of the team Curtis is going to be because, number one, Felicity's still on the show.
Yeah.
Number two, he told his husband that he wasn't going to run out like that again.
Yeah, wink, wink, nudge. Yeah.
So I'm sure he will.
Yeah.
But and to what extent, you know, we're not sure yet. So,
sure.
I think Oliver is getting over Felicity, or at least he's on the road to get over Felicity, where they can kind of move on and he can be more of the hero the city needs, although he's not really excited about that, at least at this point. So hopefully he can get there. And I am kind of looking forward to see how Damian Dark gets out of prison and starts to get back that power. I'm interested in that. So.
Well, I'm glad we can talk about this because I think we both enjoyed the episode to some degree, but we each enjoyed it in a different way.
Yes.
I know that some of our listeners are not enjoying it at all, which I'm glad they're still our listeners. You know, it's I can imagine that you know, as someone who is not liking a TV show to then continue listening to a podcast about it. You know, might be difficult. So I really appreciate the fact that a number of people are continuing to listen. I do want to just two really these tweets made me smile. As the episode is airing, JMJ TM tweeted at us, and he's like, "This show is officially off the rails. Wow, what a dumpster fire!" And I think this was basically when. Felicity's mom was talking about how she's never going to get through the air vent because she brought the wrong shoes and all this kind of stuff. And it just, I'm laughing. I'm like, I can't disagree with you. And then when the episode ended, JMJ sent another tweet that says, hey, Green Justice Podcast, found footage of at Arrow Writers returning to write next episode. And then it's a picture of a macaque monkey just sitting there banging on a laptop. So, again, I can't fault you for that. And then Tyler West pointed out that, why did Thea act helpless this entire episode? During the final fight, she acts like a civilian. And my idea was just that she's not wearing her costume, so she doesn't want to, you know, give anything away. But I did feel that Thea was not, like, anytime the bee came in, all the women were like, ah, bee.
Maybe she's allergic.
Possibly. Not explained very well.
She didn't do much to help out as far as fighting in this. I think she could have had a bigger role. I agree.
She just broke a bunch of glass on that table.
Yeah, even Quentin Lance, you know, like, smashed the bee.
Yeah.
In the lab, which I'm like, why are they trying that?
And I promise I won't tell anybody you screamed. Or did scream like a girl lines. Or whatever he said, yeah.
Yeah, he had a good pop culture line there, too. I can't remember which one of them was his.
It was the Independence Day one.
Oh, right.
What, I can't watch movies, too? No. All right, yep, well, guys, we've been around long enough here, so that's all we've got for this week's episode of Green Justice, so thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I would love to hear some feedback from you guys on iTunes. Just pop over there, and hey, if you're reviewing us on iTunes, review us and not so much, you know, the show.
Yeah, that would be nice. Thanks.
Yeah, that would be good. So you can also contact us. I would love to hear some emails from you guys about Damian Dark. Do you agree with me? Do you agree with Jay? Do you have a different opinion? I would just be curious what you guys thought of Damian Dark. So if you want to send an email to us, you can send that to greenjustice@randomchatter.com. Also, you can hop over on Twitter and see monkeys typing new scripts for us. At Green Justice Pod, that's how I also do show notes, by the way. I use my pet monkey. Or go over on Facebook. There's some cool pictures over there and some discussions from people. Facebook.com/Green Justice Podcast. Please go to Facebook. Be our beacon of hope.
And if you guys watch any other superhero comic book shows on TV, you can listen to our podcasts about them, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files and Scarlet Velocity, A Flash Podcast, which you can also find on the all-new randomchatter.com website. All of these shows are available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you're enjoying the podcast, please be sure to share with your friends. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed this beacon of hope. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.